Sometimes we get to the place we try to figure out why God does what he does, and he's never told us why he does what he does. He just does what he does because he's God. And he can do what he wants to. But I'm glad to be here. Good to see some preacher friends. Hadn't seen in a while. You got your Bible, and I hope you do. Turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. When you found your place, if you'll stand and reverence the reading of the Word of God. People have never got to the place to where you can satisfy them. It was too hot last summer, too windy tonight. Oh, God. You ever notice how if you walk through Wally World, you walk over where them at cosmetical stuff's at? Woman who's got straight hair, she's looking for something to make it curly. And a woman's got curly hair, she's looking for something to straighten it out. And over on the other side, the men with the gray hair are looking for something to turn it black. Them that ain't got none's out of luck. I get in that category, I'll quit saying that. I'm glad we can have fun at the house of God. We can have joy. My book still says that it's joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone, put it under him, and he sat there on. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Father, help us tonight and you get glory out of what goes on around here. God, if you ever did help me tonight. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. I want to preach for a little while, if God will help me, on the battle zone. Never seen so many people in a battle and a fighting like they are in our day and time. Now, if you're not a fighting the devil, his chances are he's already got you defeated. But if you're doing anything for God, you mark it down. There's a fight out there somewhere. And let me say, first of all, that me and you are no match for the devil. You can't fight what you can't see. You can't hit what you can't see. But I've got a big brother. the devil's no match for him. I see homes being broken up every day. Preachers are being attacked. Churches are splitting and shutting doors, but God is still on the throne tonight. The battle is raging. Most of the battles in churches today are not from without, but they are from within. And God knows exactly where we're at tonight, and He knows how to direct every battle. And when we get to the place and realize the battle is not mine, it's God's. And when we get to the place and we're in the will of God, doing what God has called us to do, and in our place, we don't have to try to fight a battle. He'll fight it for us. But when we get out of our place, now, God's never lost a battle, but I've lost a few. And I don't like being on the losing side. I know what that's like. But there's a battle tonight that's raging. And we see here in the Word of God that God gives instructions to Moses about the battle that they were about to fight. There's a certain way that God wants to do things. And when we realize it's either God's way or no way at all, then we realize we can live victorious. But when we try to get in the way, when I try to get in the way, that's when I make a mess out of everything. But we see here that God told Moses, look at some things in this passage of Scripture that we see that God told Moses this battle was going to go on from generation to generation. If you'll notice over and at the end of the book of Joshua and the book of Gideon, you'll find it where the Amalekites, the same crowd here, came and ravished the people of God year after year after year. There's always going to be a battle going on, but I'm glad there's always a God on the throne. And so we see here, let me give you about three things tonight. If you'll scrooch up real close and you'll stay a little warmer, if that smells a little bit, just let them know it after church. But anyway, we see here about three things tonight, three truths in this passage of Scripture. I want you to notice the weariness of the leader. The weariness of the leader. He was just as much man as anybody else. Every church, listen to me, every church has got one leader. And so, these times he gets so tired. A leading is not always a good place to be in, to be a leader. No. I was hired in at the Hossville Fire Department a few years ago, and I was in a lot better shape, let me put it that way, than I am now. And we had this old captain. He was a training officer, and he growed close to the ground, but out this way, pretty good sized feller. And they told us, they said, now, he cannot tell you anything to do that he don't do himself. If he tells you to run a mile, he's your leader. He's got to, you follow him. If he can't run that mile, you don't have to run him. And boy, that stuck in my mind. I done had me a ace and a hole. I mean, I knowed it. And so we set up a what they call a ladder with they call it an auditorium raise. And what they do, they take a 40-foot ladder, they extend it out 36 feet, they raise it straight up, they tie two ropes around the top of that ladder, and put four men out here, and wrap that rope around their waist, and they stand out there. You have to climb that ladder, go over the top of it, and come back down. They put a little old feller out there when it was my time to go. He didn't weigh 100 pounds, sack, no. I liked to gutted him when I went over the top. Lord God, he didn't breathe for 3 days. I mean, hello. I said, here's my chance. I said, Captain, I'll go over it when you do. And I didn't much more than get it out of my mouth. Up that ladder he went, swung that leg across the top, and down the other side he come. I thought, Lord God, he said, now get it. Boy, I started up that ladder. The higher I got, the more I seen her leaning this away. And I got up to the top, and when I went back over this way, son, that little old boy come off the ground about 4 or 5 feet. I ain't kidding you, there's nothing had to grab him. I mean, he done come off the ground. I was fixing to slang him back out under somewhere. And I come down the side of that ladder. But listen, the reason I had to do it, my leader done it. He went across it, and he knew how to do it. Boy, he made it look easy. It wasn't as easy as it was as it looked when I got to the top and had to go across the other side. He made it look easy because he'd already been there. He had done it before. He knew how to do it. That's the reason God put leaders in the church. They've already been there. They know what they're doing. Let them lead. Notice the strangeness in the duty of this leader. God calls us sometimes to do strange things. Now, God's ways are not our ways. But now, God's ways are not past finding out. But sometimes He'll ask us to do some of the strangest things. Here, He tells Joshua to go down to the battle, but I'm going to go up on the hill and watch and hold up the rod of God. Boy, that's strange, ain't it? God ever ask you to do anything strange? Has God ever put it on your heart to do something that seemed kind of awkward? Usually if it makes sense, you better stop and ask Him to show you again. He'll ask you to do some of the strangest things sometime. He had told Moses to just go up on top of that hill. And as Moses went up, Moses did what he did. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Sometimes, preachers, it do us good. We can teach them how to walk by faith when we walk by faith. We can tell them real easy, but we teach them when we do it in front of them. And so we see it's a strange situation. But notice the significance of it. When he got up, as long as he held those arms up, Joshua prevailed, according to the Word of God. But his arms got heavy. He became tired. I know a lot of them that started out, they did it no more. Get burnt out. There's just so much you can hurt one person and they'll come back. I don't care. I mean, they just so much, they're just as much human. But I want you to notice that it was significant that they go up there. There's men you may not see the results of what God calls us or tells us to do sometimes, but there will be great significance come out of it when we mind the Lord. We see that it was a strange thing. But notice something else about this leader. Notice the supporters of it. I do not find, you all help me with this, I do not find anywhere in the Scripture that God gave Aaron and Hur instructions to go with Moses. I do not find where Moses asked them to come along. No. But here's what I do find. I do find that they followed their leader. They knew that their leader was headed to something that they were going to benefit from it. He wasn't going up there just for his family. He wasn't going up there just for his wife and kids. He was going up there for the nation of Israel to hold up the banner of God and lift up the banner to Him, lift up that rod of God. And they said as long as it's up, they knew what was going on. It don't take them long to figure it out. When they seen that rod of God up and Him getting tired, they knew He needed help. There's a bunch of them sit back there, they'll watch you fall flat on your face and said, I know he never could do it. He could have probably done it if you'd have been up there supporting him. The reason a lot of them quit, nobody would help them. None of us have arrived to where we don't need help every now and then. I don't care how strong we think we are. Boy, it'll take to the God. Satan can take some of the things that they know where our weakness. Satan knows where our weaknesses is. He'll put things in front of you, do things, Lord God, to get your mind off the things of God. He knows where our weaknesses are. But I'm glad there's some supporters around. That's what you ought to call these little old young'uns that run up here every now and then, grab you around the leg and tell you they're supporters. That'll put you back in the pulpit next Sunday. It's what it'll, you'll overlook that bald-headed crowd sitting out there, bless God, as they'd smile at you in 6 months, and get a hold of that little one. That's where your supports are coming from. Nobody. God didn't give instruction. They just seen it needed to be done. And they done it. These times that you and I just see that we need, that somebody needs help, we just need to go do it. Yeah. Now I heard some big evangelists claim they're big. I don't know if they are or not. They're pretty good size. But I heard some evangelists say, God don't put me and you through things but for nothing but for our good. I think what the Word of God says. The Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, He lets us go through our, He comforts us through our tribulations, our trials, so we can help others. It's the reason we go through it. It's so we can help others. You can't tell me what it's like to lose a mom and a dad until you've lost a mom and a dad. You can't tell me what it's like to bury a child until you've buried a child. You can't tell me how to pastor a church until you've pastored a church. Need some supporters, though. Hey, so my job would still be in it if an encouraging word had come their way. If somebody would have told them they appreciated what they're doing. God help us tonight to realize we've got a job to do. We're in a battle. We're in the biggest spiritual battle America has ever faced, and it's going to get worse if Christians don't take a stand on the Word of God, if they don't stand for what's right and support. I said Christians now. Some of them ain't Christians, I realize it. I ain't a kissing hand. I ain't a holding hand for that diaper kissing crowd. I ain't a holding hand for that crowd that'll kiss the ground and then want to get up and hug. Oh, God help me. Realize, hey, God, help us to realize we need to band together and stand for God and the things of God. I'm so glad to find out y'all's president was a Christian. I never knowed it by the way he acted. I never knowed it. By who he hangs around with. Glad he told me. I'm glad he set the record straight. I'd have never known it. Did you know? Well, I won't get on that. I got a lot of preaching to do here. I want us to notice something else in this passage of Scripture. Notice the warring of the layman. He's off down there fighting the battle. Don't you know, ain't but two ways to fight with a sword. That's cut them long and deep. Oh, yeah, I know. But you know, he's doing the same thing every time. And all of a sudden, he goes from winning the battle to, boy, he's losing every fight. It's hard to even understand. But I want you to notice he never quit. He's an old proverb taught to us a long time ago. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. They never give up. Joshua was a winner. He didn't quit because he lost one little round. He kept a fighting because he was doing what the man of God told him to do. And as long as that man of God was up doing his part, I got a part I need to be doing. He was down there a fighting a battle because he had children and grandchildren. One day, Joshua didn't know it, but one day he was going to succeed. That one standing on the mountain, and he was going to have to be the one holding the rod of God and walking first. But if you ever quit down yonder, mark it down. There's not a place for you to lead out yonder. There's been a bunch of them quit, come back, quit, and come back, quit, and come back. Boy, I get it confused sometimes. They don't know where they're coming or going. How do you expect us to know when they quit and come back? But Joshua didn't quit. He kept a warring. He kept a fighting. He was a fighting for more than you. We're a fighting for more than just for what's on at my house. Yeah. There's a generation coming up that knows nothing about pure, old-fashioned Holy Ghost worship. Me and Brother LaVon here, there's not a lot of difference in our age. I know he looks a lot older than I am, but and I call him Daddy. I realize that. But our generation, and I know you ain't going to preach again. You ain't going to get me, so I can get it. But we can sit and talk about things that happened in our generation that this generation knows nothing about. We can tell you about things that happened in our time. You find it hard to believe that a man would work from daylight to dark for $5 a day. Boy, that's hard to comprehend in our day and time. Bless God, some of you, what'd you call them old gals? Some of you leave more than that to them waitresses. I've got what you call them. When you get up from eating, for bringing you a glass of water or a glass of tea. It's hard to comprehend, Brother David, that folks lived on gravy and biscuit for breakfast and beans and taters for supper. It's hard to believe people lived on that. This generation has never been through anything like that. The reason people were able to go through the Depression and live through the Depression is they didn't have nothing to start with. A lot of them didn't lose no whole lot. Boy, you let depression hit now and watch suicide go out the window. I mean, Lord God, they couldn't take the pressure, Brother Carl. They wouldn't know how to make it. If we can't go to the ATM and get it out, if we can't walk, go up, pull up to the drive-thru window and order it, we can't have it. But God help us. I'm glad He told Joshua, you keep a fighting down there. There's a generation coming up behind you that's going to need to know about God and this war and the battles we're facing. You ought to tell your children and tell your children's children. Amen. The warring of the layman. But notice, you see the witness of the Lord. He was watching everything that was going on. God knows your breaking point. Now, sometimes I get to question him and I say, I done broke. I'm broke. You can back off anytime you want to. I'm gentle. But wait till that little fella pulls out in front of me. I quit trying to be a Christian. Forgot about being a preacher. But he's watching. He's watching. He's watching. He knows what you're going through. Some, I've heard folks say, "Boy, I wish I knew the future." I'm glad I don't. I'm glad I don't. I'm glad. But I'm glad I know the one that holds the future. He knows what's going on. He's my witness tonight. But notice, not only the witness of the Lord, I got to hurry. But notice the writing of the ledger. He said, write this down. Pin this down. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Of all people, why Joshua? Preachers, do not ever think twice about preaching a message two times. They may need to hear it. That's right. Now, I've been told, I don't know how to, that the average man, his ability is, he has to be told something 10 times before he actually comprehends it. I'm below average. I realize that. You don't have to say it. Some of y'all are too, bless God. So keep rehearsing it in their ears. And every now and then, when our family used to, I don't know how school worked, but back when we get together Christmas time and Thanksgiving, the boys would always bring up something. They said, Dad, they have cars back in your day. Yeah. 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 And they laugh at it. Then they say, tell us about something. Rehearse in our ears some of the things that y'all had to go through. And I say, you've been blessed that you've never had to go through some of the stuff we've had. You don't know what it's like to wear your sister's shoes to school because you didn't have any. You don't know what that's like. Well, I do. You don't know what it's like to be able to take them old white socks and roll them up and twist them, and you could get a knot in them just right, keep them from falling down around your shoe tops. Couldn't put rubber bands around your legs because you didn't have no rubber bands, bless God. You don't know what that's like. You don't know what it's like to have a mama and daddy cry over a $4.16 light bill because they couldn't pay it. Well, I don't never remember the lights being turned off. You don't know what that's like. But they say, Daddy, rehearse that. Tell us about some of them old times when all you get for Christmas was a nickel pack of marbles and the girls would get some little old cutout paper dolls and that'd be it. They didn't know what that was like. And my grandkids and I intend for them to do it. Bless God, to get more at one setting than I got in a lifetime. But I say, hey, glory be to God. I hope they don't never have to go through what I had to go through. But I want to rehearse it in their ears and let them know I hadn't forgot where I come from. The battle is raging. Sometimes I get to wanting to preach so bad. This has been the slowest year I've had, 20-something years of preaching. And had a preacher tell me the other day, he said, boy, your pastoring days are over. Well, I'm glad he's in control. I mean, you know. That's encouraging words to a man, you know. Y'all like, bless God, y'all sitting beside some. It's just that encouraging one to another, yeah. Go ahead, preacher. That church over there I go to next Sunday calls me. I'm going to call him and say, well, God just said I had one more chance. You wait and see what I'm going to call it. But every now and then I like for one to rehearse in my ears. Now I want to say something. I'm not trying to, don't take me wrong. I get more encouragement out of going to meetings in this part of the country than I do anywhere I go, preacher. It encourages me to hear you say something. You rehearsing something in my ear, that's encouraging. Makes me want to preach again. Because it's not everywhere you go. Bless God, I preached in churches that had windows that was as cold as this. Uh-huh. They'd have the heat on and it'd be as cold as it is in here. Yeah. Y'all blessed around here. You don't realize how... God help me to preach right there. You don't know how blessed you really are. Some of you ought to try going down the road. You'll be back. Bless God, the tires won't get warmer, won't get cold on your car. You'll be headed back this way if you really want something from God. He said, write that down. Make a ledger of it. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. A book of remembrance. See, if things don't change, there's going to come a time when your children are going to start telling their grandchildren about some meetings they had on these grounds. And they said, y'all really went up there under that and sat outside and fought them skeeters? So we fought them one year, but then we prayed God he turned it off cold, and he did. We ain't a fighting skeeters, are we? Y'all done that? There's going to come a time, and it's already being started in California, that they pull up to a place and put a like they used to do at old drive-in movies. Oh, y'all didn't go to movies. I forgot, y'all. And put that speaker inside the window. Yeah. And roll the window up. And get carried away with your hunting and forget that you've got your window up and take off. There goes window out the car. Sam, shake your head, old timers. Bless God, I know. Yeah. Yeah, there's a witness of what you're doing. All right. Write that down, tell it to your grandchildren. Write that down, tell it to your grandchildren. Explain that to them. We used to say back home, explain it to me. Okay. We see the writing of the ledger. But notice in verse 15 the war that was lasted. He built an altar. The first thing he did. I think back about some of the hard times we had as children and even some of the hard times me and my wife has experienced since we've been married. Think of some of the things. That's not what He wants me to pin down. That's not all that He wants me to pin down. He's wanting me to pin down something about the times that the Lord met with me. Driving down the road, nobody around but you. And all of a once it gets foggy in the cab of that old truck. And you can't explain it. You've done traveled a couple of hundred miles. Didn't even know that you'd come through some places and didn't realize it. You just realized God had moved in with you and took over. About the times that God came by when the doctor said he won't live to be 2 years old and touch that little old boy and see him celebrate his 36th birthday when God touched him out there on the front porch of that little old mobile home. And now, you ought to write some of them things down. I want to build me an altar. I want to keep me a place to where I can worship and pray. Well, I got a certain places that seems like I can pray better. I know you can pray anywhere. I realize you can in a deer stand. I know you can do all that. You pray sitting in the front of that bass boat watching them, that little hummingbird go by. All that kind of caring on trouble is you ain't. But there's a certain place we ought to get to. We can pray. And it seems like when you get to that place that God just listens to you. See what? He said, build an altar. They was good at building altars back in that day. And they didn't build those altars just for bragging purposes. No, they built it because they knew there was going to be people that come by after them. Most churches don't even have altars now. And them that's got them don't use them. Worship is about to be a thing of the past. It's going out fast. I'm talking about real old-time Holy Ghost worship. Why? There's been so many defeated people in America today calling themselves Christians, but defeated. If I was defeated, I wouldn't let you know it. Oh, no, you liable to tell the devil. Yeah. He wouldn't know so much about you if you wouldn't tell him so much. If you quit bragging on him, he wouldn't have such a big hate. But if you just talk to God like you do him. I get tired of hearing these people. The devil's been on my back all day long. God help your little puny fat heart. Who said you had to ride him around? He might get on me, but I'll just take so much. I got a case Perry Mason can't handle, buddy, bless God. I'm not going to ride him around. I'm not going to let him hang around. You know what he's going to do? He's going to attack me. Every time I say something like that, he's going to attack me. But I found a verse of Scripture where, Brother Bolton, greater is he that's in you than he's in the world. I'm not going to sit and argue with him. I'm not going to let him defeat me. I'm going to get to my place of worship, my place of prayer. There's certain places that seems better than others. He said, you build an altar. But then, that ain't all. I want you to notice what else. Look in verse number 50. You see the banner of the Lord. Hey, some of you, you don't even know how to act. It's been so long since you won a battle. When people are shouting the victory, you're sitting back watching and saying, what in the world are they shouting about? You ever seen anybody shout over getting whooped? My daddy used to have a saying, I'm going to whoop you and make you like it. Boy, he never did live up to that. No. Whooped me a bunch of times, but he didn't make me like him. Oh. I've been defeated. But see, they had a banner. And they lift that banner. Listen now, he's in a war. The battle's on. He's using a military term here. That banner is a sign of inspiration. You know what one of the greatest monuments in America today and pictures that's ever been sold? It's when those four Marines lifted that flag in Iwo Jima. Oh, that's one of the greatest monuments. Everybody that sees that flag, that sees that monument, they say, I've never been to Washington where they say they got that thing stuck out there. But I've known some boys that went up there, men, and they said when they walked by that thing, it's just something there. It's a banner of inspiration. It tells them, hey, we won that battle. They fought for us over there. America, they didn't raise a flag of Japan. They didn't raise the flag of China. They raised the American flag. And when they seen that banner, it was a banner of inspiration. There's been many try to mock it, but never could. That's the reason when God gave us this old banner, it's a banner of inspiration. Many have tried to mock it and make fun of it. Many have said it's outdated. Oh, God. Many have said it don't work in our day and time. But what was in the past will work in the future. I mean, the same promises that's over yonder in Genesis that God promised for His people can be fulfilled. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled every day. It's a banner of inspiration. Then it's a banner of identification. It don't mean some to some, nothing to some people. He ain't American. You let an American walk by and see that flag, it does something to him. You let one of them slant eyes walk by and he just keeps a walking. Yeah. Some of y'all put him on your shoulders where he can see it. Don't mean a thing to him. I ain't got no use for that crowd that burns it. Maybe some of your kinfolk, God help you. I ain't got no use for that crowd that puts it on the seat of their britches. Boy, there's been a lot of bloodshed that me and you could be here tonight and worship a true and a living God. I want to tell you, it means something to me tonight when that American flag goes up. But I'll tell you, there's another flag when we look at it means something too. And that's that Christian flag. Proud of that one. I ain't a-worshipping that old gal standing out there in New York Harbor. There's another statue on a hill called Calvary where I'm going to worship. That's where my sins got under the blood were washed away. It's a banner of identification. I can identify with it. I can identify with it. Has a meaning to me. Over at the school, they start the school out to have a moment of silence. It's amazing to me how kids in eighth grade don't know how to shut up. I have to explain it to them in that term. Do y'all know what silence means? Is that a Greek word or Hebrew? Let me give you the definition from Booger Holler. Bless God, it means shut up. Don't say a word. You say, they got the message. I got the point. I did not have to go through it twice. They got it the first time. I'm good at teaching some things. It's a banner. We'll stand there. Then after they'd had that moment of silence, they'd play that national anthem. We'd stand there. After they'd done that, we'd say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. You'll have one or two that their religion don't allow them to do that. I had to deal with that. Bless God, when you go to their school and when their teacher's here teaching, he can do what he wants to. But when you go to this school and they call me to teach, you're going to do it the way I say do it. You may not know the words to it. You better not move your lips. You better stand at attention. You better put your... What do you say? I'm saying it means something to me. I'm saying we got a banner tonight. There's one that waved over glory one day. I'm glad, thank God, I can hold my head up and wave the banner for the glory of God. Let the battle rage. But he waved that banner for the glory of God. Some tonight, they throw their banner down. A banner has carries two meanings. It means surrender. That's what it means. When they wave that banner, it means surrender. I'm giving up. I'm coming out. I'm through fighting. Some of you tonight ought to surrender. You ought to wave the banner. Say, I fought what the Lord's been wanting me to do for year after year after year. I'm going to surrender tonight. I want to come to Jesus. I want to get to the foot of the cross. I want to know about the blood that they sing about. And you wave the banner and say, I surrender. We sing the old song, I surrender all. But yet we surrender very little. We surrender very little. Then there's another definition to that banner. It means victory. They'd wave that banner in victory. In the Old Testament, when they ordered, I'm fixing to close. Get somebody ready to sing, brother. In the Old Testament, when they offered up that yearly sacrifice, they'd bring two of them goats in. They would slay one of them. They'd cut that throat, catch that blood, and apply it to them. The other goat, they'd blindfold him. And they'd lead him out across them little old hills. They'd take him across one, and one would get him, he'd take him across. And he was led out into a wilderness. And the blindfold was taken off. You know how they sent messages back that the goat was gone? They'd lift a banner. They'd lift a banner. Sins is gone. Boy, they some tonight don't know what it is to experience victory. Still got to dealing with them old sins in your life. You ought to surrender tonight. Then you raise that banner of victory tonight. I never was in the military. But they tell me after every battle, the first thing they wanted to do, Brother Boltner, was raise that flag that represented that country. I want to raise the flag tonight in victory. If we knew what was going on in each other's life, your preacher, it amazes me. It amazes me how preachers can get in pulpits Sunday after Sunday. It's only God. Because of what they've had to listen to before they get up there. And you want them to smile. They know problem after problem after problem that they're preaching to. They know hurt after hurt after hurt. Trouble after trouble after trouble. But yet they got to get a hold of God. He gets weary. Sometimes he needs somebody to hold him up so he can wave that flag of victory. I want to tell you, there is victory in Jesus tonight if you know him. Preacher, I'm through. I'm quitting.